welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. Today we continue our series on back pain, and my first guest is Seth Depfer Roth, a certified instructor and faculty member of the National Guild of Hypnosis and a nurse anesthetist. She is a member of the National Board of Certified Clinical Hypnotherapists, the International Hypnosis Federation, the American Board of Hypnosis, the International Medical and Dental Hypnosis Association, Imagery International, and the American Association of Nurse Anesthetists. Seth Depfer is an instructor of medical hypnosis at the Hypnotherapy Center in Oakland, California, and received the 2005 Award of Excellence in the category of healthcare from the International Hypnosis Federation. She has been featured on the Discovery Channel's Mythbusters segment on hypnosis. She is also presented to the National Guild of Hypnosis, the International Medical and Dental Hypnosis Association, the International Hypnosis Federation, the American Board of Hypnosis, the Institute for the Advanced Studies of Health World Conference, and the Dermatology Nurses Association on the many uses of hypnosis in the area of health. She lectures at hospitals on mental hypnosis, including St. Rose Hospital, Seton Hospital, and the Bay Area Forum at Sutter Hospital. Seth Depfer teaches a teleseminar course on medical hypnosis certification and often speaks on the San Francisco radio station KEST Seeing Beyond with Bonnie Colleen. She also writes a blog called Hypnotic Health at www.hypnoticblogdpot.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, and I always enjoy having a colleague with me, and I look forward to hearing how you use hypnosis to help people with back pain. First, you got into hypnosis because of your own back pain. Can you tell us about this?
Yes, I was 2 weeks away from having a spine fusion, L4-5, and my pain was so severe, I couldn't sit for more than a minute or two in the car. I couldn't lift up a gallon of pineapple juice. I couldn't lift up a frying pan. The pain was very, very severe. And I remember thinking, if this is how I'm going to live, I now understand why my patients wanted to die. I used to be, in the beginning of my nursing career, I worked in the cancer unit. Mm-hmm. And so the pain was pretty severe. And when the doctor told me that he was going to go through my abdomen to get to my back, things changed for me. Mm-hmm. I'm also a nurse anesthetist, mm-hmm. and before that I was an operating nurse. So I was very aware of what the surgery would entail, but not only that, but post-operatively. Mm-hmm. The physical rehab that would be involved and the partial body cast and all this kind of stuff. And I was just on the floor one morning, and I put my hand on my hip because the pain was going down the leg. Mm-hmm. And I just started to use self-hypnosis. Mm-hmm. I started to visualize, being the medical person I am, mm-hmm. red arterial blood going into the nerve root and pushing the toxins and the different toxic chemicals out into the venous blue blood. Mm-hmm. And I started to literally have, as I started to relax, I started to have spasms happen where my body started jerking from the release of the tension that it was holding. Mm-hmm. And eventually the skin actually started to rise and fall with the increase in circulation. Mm. And I called my husband over. I mean, it was dramatic. And he's a physician. He's a surgeon. I called him over. I said, Ken, look at this. Look at this. And my, it was literally rising and falling. And the pain was starting to go away. And I kept on doing this numerous times a day, canceled the surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And I am now 99.9% free of pain most of the time.
That's great.
Yeah. I mean, it's absolutely fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And so I decided, well, I need to learn more about hypnosis. Later on, I actually used hypnosis again with my neck. When I was 40 years old, they told me I had the neck of a 60-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
I had been in some car accidents with drunk drivers here in California. And when I turned, I think it was 50, I got hit again with just a little tap on the rear.
Mm-hmm.
And I started a lot of pain in my neck again, and I started to use hypnosis once again. They were giving me facet injections. The actual needle that they used in my neck had slipped out of the doctor's hand into my eye. So luckily, it did not. I still can see just fine. But I got really disgusted with what was going on. I was in constant pain. And so once again, I started to use hypnosis. I was visualizing 1,000 tiny little fingers massaging my neck. And you could once again see the skin's response, the muscles' response to my thoughts. So I decided to really study hypnosis, and especially with the medical applications of hypnosis. And that's how I got into it. And I'm so thankful, because there's nothing as wonderful as being able to help people.
Now, Seth Deborah, can you tell us what hypnosis is and some of the myths about hypnosis?
Sure. Well, hypnosis is a natural state of altered consciousness. We go in and out of hypnosis all on our own. For instance, if you're driving a car and you miss your exit, or you get off your exit and you don't remember doing it. It's where you are focused on other thoughts. You're still doing regular activities, but you are focused on other thoughts. Or, for instance, a child who's watching TV or they're on their video games, right? And they're just so intent, and they're not hearing the parents call them to dinner. So what looks like to the onlooker that you are zoned out is actually the opposite. You are so zoned in. You are so focused that you are choosing at some level not to pay attention to anything else. Now, that child hears the mom or dad saying, you know, come, Johnny, it's time for dinner, and they don't respond. Now, if the parent were to say, Johnny, there's a fire in the house, the child would be up and out of there. Okay, so you are not what looks like on TV and all that, you know, movies and stuff, that you are a zombie, so to speak, or you're out. Is not that at all. It's just that it's such a wonderful state of bliss, at least when you're in that kind of a situation, you know, where you're just sitting in a chair or you're on a stage. It is so peaceful and so wonderful that it looks like you're a zombie, but you're not. You are totally aware of what's going on. As a matter of fact, your senses are actually heightened, but you're choosing not to pay attention to the other things that are going on.
Now, I wonder if that's what happens when I work on my editing of my radio programs. I think that I've been here about 15 minutes, and I look at the clock, and it's been 5 hours.
Exactly. Or you're reading a book. Or you're in the movies and you start crying, right? You know you're not in that movie. But you are so entranced, you literally entranced, that it feels as if it's real. And so you're responding as if it's real, which leads us into, so how does hypnosis work on the body? Because the brain does not know the difference between reality and not reality.
But tell us about the myths.
The myths are that you could get stuck in hypnosis, and you can't.
Or you can't?
No, no, sorry. If I were to leave the room doing hypnosis on somebody, in a couple of minutes they would go, well, I wonder where she is, or they would get up and out of there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe they'd take a nap, depending on what kind of mood they were in.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I'm reminded of a story of a stage hypnotist. He had this woman who wouldn't come out of trance. So what he did is he went over to her and told her in her ear that if she didn't come out of trance, he would never put her into hypnosis again. And she came out.
Hmm. Now, I wonder if this is what happened. Many years ago, I was I still meditate every day, but I was meditating way too much every day.
Mm-hmm.
And one night, I zoomed out of my body, and I was leaving very rapidly, and everything was getting smaller and smaller, and it was very frightening because I thought I was disappearing into everything and would no longer exist.
Wow.
And I wonder if I had somehow hypnotized myself. That has happened a couple times since, but I'm wondering if I had hypnotized myself somehow.
I don't know. I don't know. They actually know that hypnosis, 15 minutes of hypnosis is like 3 hours of sleep. And the reason is when you start to enter hypnosis, you're going into the alpha brainwave.
Mm-hmm.
So what, you know, I will tell people, well, it kind of feels like that feeling of you're watching TV late at night on a Friday and you're trying not to fall asleep, but you feel like you're about to drift off.
Mm-hmm.
That's alpha brainwave, and that's very the same brainwave as hypnosis. So I don't know what you were experiencing.
And see, meditation then would put you into the same brainwaves.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. So I was actually involved in a segment on Discovery Channel's Mythbusters, where
mm-hmm.
they were trying to dispel the myth of hypnosis that you could make someone do something
mm-hmm.
that they don't want to do, such as kill the queen or something like that. So that's another myth that is not real, because you are absolutely in control
mm-hmm.
at all times. So you can even decide during hypnosis to, when we're doing clinical hypnosis, and let's say someone has some information come up, you have the ability as the client to share this information with the hypnotist or not.
Mm-hmm.
You are always in control.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can't make someone, you know, I can't say to somebody, okay, when you leave my office, you know, go and buy me a ticket to Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are totally, totally in control.
I think probably the most well-known movie that involved hypnosis was On a Clear Day You Could See Forever. Did you see the movie?
I did, but it was so long ago, and it was so way before I got into the hypnosis field that I remember that. I'll have to go rent it.
Right, with Barbara Streisand. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very
mm-hmm.
good. Right.
Yeah.
So are there other myths, or have we covered
them? That's about it, you know, that I could make someone do something they don't want to do,
mm-hmm.
that they can get stuck in hypnosis. Oh, and the other one is that they're out of control.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that they're totally, totally out of control.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not it at all. You are so in control when you're in hypnosis.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really a beneficial state of being for your physical body, too, in that they know that they've done blood tests on people, and their cortisol level, your stress hormones, go
mm-hmm.
down,
mm-hmm.
and your immune system, your white blood cells, actually go up.
Mm.
So it's a really wonderful state to be in, very similar to meditation,
mm-hmm, right.
you know, where it's healthy because mm-hmm. you are being put into the stimulating your parasympathetic nervous system, which is your rest and relax system.
Mm-hmm. The brain is very involved in this process. So could you review for us the conscious and unconscious mind and the difference between these?
Absolutely. Okay. Conscious mind. Think of it as your aware mind, what we are doing now. We are consciously aware we're talking. I might be holding a pen in my hand, wondering what the next question's going to be, and you're thinking, okay. And so we're using our conscious mind, our aware mind. It's
mm-hmm.
also a very judgmental mind. It's always filtering and judging, and I call it almost like a monkey mind. It's like, da, 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 all
mm-hmm.
the time,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's like sometimes you want to say, just be quiet for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
That's your conscious mind. Your unconscious mind is your unaware mind. There is a part of that unconscious mind that deals just with your body. It runs your heart, your lungs, your kidneys, your liver, your pancreas, everything mm-hmm. in your body. And its prime directive is to keep you alive and well.
Mm-hmm.
There's another part of that unconscious mind that psychiatrists, psychologists, others call your subconscious mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's also part of your unaware mind. And it also has the prime directive to keep you alive and well.
Mm-hmm.
However, it does it with a child's mind, if you think of a 4 to a 7-year-old child, so that it takes information in literally, like a sponge, irrationally, like a little child.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you're a child and you spill your milk and your mom or dad start, they've had a bad day and they say, oh, Johnny, you know, you spilled your milk, you're never going to amount to anything. You know, I keep on telling you over and over again, you can't follow instructions, you're never going to amount to anything. And that little kid, like a sponge, just stops mm-hmm. up that information and internally says, I'm never going to amount to anything.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's listening irrationally. Mm-hmm. It doesn't think, mm-hmm. well, mom just had a bad day or dad just had a bad day.
Mm-hmm.
Another aspect of that childlike quality is sometimes an event will happen and you can hook on to that feeling from the event. You could hook on to that memory and you keep it with you, almost like you've taken a Polaroid picture of it.
Mm-hmm.
So you have an event and year after year after year after year, you're 20, 30, 40, 50 years old responding to an earlier event, but you're not aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
In psychology, they call that a gestalt. And if you think of like a row of pearls, you take out that bottom pearl and all the other reactions
mm-hmm.
can change instantly as they all fall off.
Mm-hmm.
One more aspect of that subconscious mind is it's egocentric,
mm-hmm.
meaning it thinks that the world revolves around me like a child. I'm the center of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
So for instance, a child might hear the mom and dad arguing every night, how to discipline them, how to take care of them, da 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 da. And maybe the parents decide to get divorced and the child with that egocentric thinking thinks I'm the reason. Even if the parents say, no, Johnny, we just fell out of love, it has nothing to do with you, that child can keep that feeling that I'm the issue here. I'm the cause.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's important to understand about that subconscious mind. So that subconscious mind, remembering its prime directive is to keep you alive and well.
Mm-hmm.
So based on these reactions, it can develop coping mechanisms, coping behavior that, as far as the child's mind, keeps it alive and well.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're an adult and you want to respond differently, and you're still responding as that child, it could not be beneficial for
mm-hmm.
you.
Mm-hmm.
I use the idea of a captain on a ship.
Mm-hmm.
The captain is the conscious mind. The crew of the ship is the subconscious mind. It is the crew that has the oars in the water.
Mm-hmm.
So the captain can want to go left or right, stop smoking, stop drinking, whatever it is. But if the crew, for whatever subconscious reasons, is holding on to this because it thinks it's keeping them safe,
mm-hmm.
that will be the behavior because that's what you're responding to. Your
mm-hmm.
subconscious mind makes for
mm-hmm.
the behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have this, when they're not in line with each other, when the conscious mind and the subconscious mind aren't in line, you have this mutiny or self-sabotaging behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
The easiest way to show this is, let's say, very often women will come to me to lose weight, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they lose it, they put it on, they lose it, they put it on, or they never lose it at all. Very often with hypnosis, we will find out that perhaps they've been molested as young
mm-hmm.
girls. And so that subconscious mind is holding on to the weight as a method
mm-hmm.
of coping, keeping men away,
mm-hmm.
which works.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't work for the young woman or the older woman who wants to let go of the weight.
Are there other ways that the subconscious mind affects the body? And also, then it sounds like you use this information as a framework for your treatments.
Right. Now, when we're specifically talking about physical ills, such as today we're talking about back pain,
mm-hmm.
I make sure when I, with my clients, to explain to them about the real mind-body connection.
Mm-hmm.
Because you need to really get them to understand, because belief is a big part of what we do to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So there is something called the limbic system. So that's your hypothalamus, your pituitary gland, your amygdala, which is your old fight or flight response, you know, an
mm-hmm.
older part of your brain. There are other areas, but in general, okay, so that your thoughts come in and we filter them with our hypothalamus, the cortex of your brain. You're filtering these thoughts that are coming in. They get expressed in from there into chemical language, which the cells in your body respond to.
Mm-hmm.
They get expressed as neurotransmitters. Your body is, 70% water?
Mm-hmm.
And these neurotransmitters go to every single cell in your body. So the thoughts can come in, they get transmitted as chemicals, let's say to the pituitary gland. The pituitary gland has a connection with your adrenal glands. That's called the HPA axis. The adrenal glands stimulate your stress hormones,
mm-hmm.
adrenaline, cortisol, etc. And that will make muscles tighten up and other things within your body. All these chemicals are going to your body.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with this understanding, you have your nervous system, and you have your sympathetic and your parasympathetic. The sympathetic is your fight or flight. How I used to remember this in nursing school
mm-hmm.
was that it sounded like sympathy, and it was just the opposite. So that's your fight or flight, and it's mainly to get you away from the woolly mammoth. Very simple.
Mm-hmm.
Fight, flight, or the other one's just staying still in case you've really gotten hurt and you have to protect yourself that way. So the opposite of that is your parasympathetic system, which is your rest and relax system.
Mm-hmm.
There's also another one, your enteric nervous system, which is totally from your brain to your gut, but
mm-hmm.
that's not what we're talking about today. So the sympathetic and the parasympathetic need to be in balance. And hypnosis helps us to turn on that parasympathetic. So if the sympathetic will open up your pupils so that you have more light, so that you can run away from that woolly mammoth, the parasympathetic will close the pupil
mm-hmm.
so that you can rest and relax. And these things are always in balance. Sometimes our body can get out of whack and what's called the allostatic load, and you could be more in that stress balance and kind of stuck in there.
Mm-hmm.
And so we, with hypnosis, we help to train you how to get back into that balance. And it definitely does take practice. But did I answer your question? I get so excited about this stuff.
Can you give us some examples of successes that you've had?
Well, besides myself, oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
People
always like to hear case studies.
Specifically for the back.
Well, if you have some back ones, yeah.
Yeah, one lady, well, this leads us into the idea of secondary gain.
Mm-hmm.
There's something called secondary gain, meaning that at a subconscious level, not at a conscious level, there's a part of us that gets something out of being sick. I remember when my back was at its worst, and my husband had to drive because I couldn't sit.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always the driver in the family. I'm always the one who drives.
Mm-hmm.
And for a nanosecond, there was a part of me that went, well, good, now he gets to drive. I don't have to be the chauffeur. And so that's what secondary gain is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So everybody wants to be loved and taken care of. You know, so there's a part of us that when we get sick, people get to ask us, how are you doing? What can I do for you? That kind of thing. And there's a book, John Sarno, called Back Pain.
Mm-hmm.
And just by telling people about secondary gain, a great majority had their back pain go away.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So I was working with one lady, and she was having problems with her husband. And, you know, through the hypnosis process, she was able to find out that indeed there was a part of her that enjoyed being taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
And again, with her back pain got less and less as she started to let go of the need.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the things we do in hypnosis is we ask the subconscious mind, what else can it do? What, first of all, what's the intention behind here? And then we ask the subconscious mind, how else, what else can you do to get this intention in a better way?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then as that subconscious mind figures it out, the pain can definitely get better.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of different ways in using hypnosis specifically for back pain.
Mm-hmm.
One is if there's emotional issues that were going on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm reminded of another person. They were running from one job to another, one job to another, one job to another, until they had numerous car accidents and their back was injured.
Mm-hmm.
So it's as if the universe, in a way, had to slow them down. And anyway, so when this person realized that that's part of, not the whole thing, but part of what was going on, is that they weren't taking care of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't putting limits on their life.
Mm-hmm.
That then they got to, while they were working with the back pain, to practice putting limits so that they weren't taking care of everyone else and not taking care of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the back pain forced them to do this, but then they learn how to do that, and then the back pain starts to get better and better as they start to take better and better care of themselves.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Yeah, but yeah, there are a lot of instances.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's not just sometimes with hypnosis you will find one session and you can regress to the emotional cause for taking on the issue and people get better.
Mm-hmm.
I worked with a gal. She had eczema ever since she was a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And in hypnosis, we regressed to being in the delivery room where she decided to get taken care of. And so, you know, we talked to her subconscious mind, finding other ways to get taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
But and her eczema was gone in one session.
Mm-hmm.
And so I also taught her ways of self-management of stress,
mm-hmm.
EFT, which is emotional freedom techniques, and other ways to take care of herself, you know, other than developing eczema
mm-hmm.
symptoms. But the interesting thing is she went home and asked her mom what happened during the delivery. And indeed, her mom said that she had some bleeding and all the doctors and nurses were taking care of the mom and taking care of the baby.
Mm-hmm.
So this stuff is real.
Right.
It just, right. You know, and it can within one session make a dramatic change, or it can, with many sessions, help a person to find
mm-hmm.
the ways to make the changes
mm-hmm.
that need to be made.
Tell me, do you find that your nursing background is helpful in this?
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I'll tell you, the biggest, I don't know how to put this. As a medical person,
mm-hmm.
I really had to let go of the idea that the only mind-body connection is maybe ulcers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
I really had to let go of it. Mm-hmm. I have had so many people make such dramatic turnarounds,
mm-hmm.
whether eczema or stomach problems or, you know, autoimmune diseases,
mm-hmm.
everything that comes through my door.
Mm-hmm.
it's just amazing. And also, you know, I'll have people come to me. Their physicians will send them to me because they have diabetes and they're not managing themselves. They're not doing their injections. Mm-hmm. They're not changing their diet and so forth. And to use hypnosis just for simple things like that,
mm-hmm.
you know, is, can help change a person.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times, you know, people will come to me to stop smoking, right, and we'll find other things in their background. And when we deal with the reasons for the stress,
mm-hmm.
then they find that they stop smoking, they stop eating, their blood pressure starts to go down as they forgive people in their past. Doesn't mean you have to condone what the people did,
mm-hmm.
but it's like I explained it as a gift you give yourself by letting go of the toxic thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
So I tell people this, okay, you have 100 points a day to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're spending 80 of them being mad at somebody, you only have 20 for yourself. You know, so wouldn't it make more sense to let go of the anger, to let go of those toxic thoughts, bless the people who've done this on their journey, because
right.
obviously they have something to learn.
Right. Also, the research shows that if you send out positive things come back.
Right.
And that's another reason, I think, to let go of all of the negativity.
Absolutely.
Of course, our society seems to thrive on negativity. And that's why I rarely turn on the TV. I rarely listen to the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's classical music or something. But
Yeah.
Society tends to perpetuate negativity.
Right, and it just feeds on itself.
The fear of no vaccines, the fear of attacks, and on and on and on. So, I live a very secluded life where I stay positive and I only let things that are positive in. So
yeah.
Maybe I need hypnosis. Now, it sounds like you deal with a lot of people that have difficult behaviors to change. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
weight loss, like smoking.
Phobias. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, going back to that physiology of what's going on, they did a study at Stanford where they had people not in hypnosis, and they would see the color red,
mm-hmm.
put them in the PET scan and see what area of the brain lights up. Then put them into hypnosis, see the color red, hear the color red, feel the color red, whatever
mm-hmm.
makes that color red real,
mm-hmm.
back in the PET scan machine, and the same area of the brain lights up, whether you're in hypnosis or not.
Mm-hmm.
So in some manner of speaking, your brain doesn't know the difference between mm-hmm. reality and not reality.
Mm-hmm.
And so in hypnosis, I believe, I mean, no one's really studied this exactly how it's happening, but we are helping people to release old feelings, old ways of reactions,
mm-hmm.
and your brain doesn't know the difference.
Mm-hmm. How successful are you with some of these difficult behaviors to change?
Surprisingly, they are not that difficult.
Oh, really?
Yeah. If people want to change, you have to want to change.
Mm-hmm.
That's number one.
Mm-hmm.
People come to me to stop smoking, usually 1-2 hour session, and they're done.
Really?
If I ask, I know it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
If I ask them on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you want to stop smoking? They give me a 10. They usually stop smoking in that one session.
Mm.
Yeah. You just use regression. When we're talking about long-term stop
mm-hmm.
smoking, not just a week or two
right.
weeks, right, or a month. We're
mm-hmm.
talking long-term. If you get to the reason, the underlying reason, why they want to stop, why they started smoking to begin with, not to get along with their peers, because it usually goes before that. What made you want to get along with your peers is usually what you have to get to.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have them release that, you know, get the learning that they needed to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other part of that hypnosis, so that's the what we call regression part.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other part is putting in the positive suggestions.
Mm-hmm.
And you repeat these over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And I also teach people ways of coping with stresses in life. I teach them self-hypnosis. I teach them EFT, Mm-hmm. So, so we're very, very successful.
Yeah. At this point, then, Seth, Deborah, would you tell us about your services and your blog and how the listeners can reach you?
Okay, sure. I'd love to. Okay. I do services in person and by Skype. I certify people in hypnosis, and I actually have a medical hypnosis course, a teleseminar course.
Mm-hmm.
My website is www.hypnotherapyforhealth.com, all spelled out, hypnotherapyforhealth.com. My blog is hypnotichealth.blogspot.com. My phone is 510-690-0699. I'm on Facebook, Seth Deborah, my personal page, and then my fan page is Hypnotherapy for Health.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a downloadable hypnosis course and CDs that I sell, you know, like for bedwetting mm-hmm. and all kinds of stuff. And I love what I do. I love combining my medical knowledge with hypnosis.
Great.
Very satisfying.
Well, I appreciate this very much. It's been very interesting, and I know it will be helpful to the listeners. I thank you.
Thank you.
My second guest is Karen Hummel, a wellness coach whose passion is helping others eliminate pain. She holds a master's degree in health service management and a baccalaureate degree in nutrition and exercise physiology. Karen is a certified personal trainer with 18 years of training experience and has served as a wellness director for several large corporations. In 1998, after years of perseverance to reach her own fitness goal, Karen was seriously injured in an automobile accident and told prior to surgery that she would almost certainly be a paraplegic. Karen refused to believe this, and after three surgeries, her surgeon told her that had it not been for the muscles she had developed from years of exercise, she would not have walked away. Several years later, after excruciating pain, doctor's visits, and medical tests, a piece of hardware from her original surgery was found to be piercing the spinal canal. This had caused tremendous nerve pain throughout her spine and eventually the loss of feeling in her right leg. Another surgery was scheduled, but the chronic pain continued 1 year later. Testing found that a second device in her back had broken and that the area had not healed properly. Karen had her last back surgery to correct the problem in 2006. Karen has made tremendous improvements since her last surgery and is happy to be back at the gym, but she still lives with chronic pain daily. She is in the process of writing a book about her experiences and hopes it will be an inspiration to others battling pain. More information is available at www.karenhummel.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Karen, and I look forward to hearing about your back pain and how you are dealing with it. First,
thank you.
I understand you broke your back in a car accident. Can you tell us a little bit about that and how the pain has affected your life to date?
Yes, I'll never forget it. In 1998, I remember I woke up in an MRI or CT machine, I'm not sure which, and I had a team of medical specialists surrounding me. And I knew right away for some reason that my back was broken. I'm not sure how I knew. And the personal trainer in me, I wanted to make sure I could still move. So I started to, flex my quadriceps. And I told the nurse around that was by my bed, or I'm not sure if she was a nurse or a physician,
mm-hmm.
that I could flex my quads and I could flex my glutes. And I'll never forget her comment. She said, "Honey, you have to stop right now. You could be making matters much worse."
Mm-hmm.
So it was a it was definitely a life-altering experience. In 1 second, I went from being, you know, a 28-year-old bodybuilder to basically being an invalid for a while. I had to have 8 hours worth of surgery. My spine had actually nicked my small intestine, so I had abdominal and back surgery.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up in the hospital for a month. I had 6 months, I wore a huge metal back brace. They didn't have the nice soft ones back in the late 90s. And I had a year of recovery. My surgeon at that time said, had it not been for the muscle I'd developed through weight training, I would not have walked.
Mm-hmm.
So it was quite a life-altering experience. But little did I know at that time it would affect my life for years to come.
Mm-hmm.
I've dealt with chronic back pain now ever since. It really got worse in 2002, and I ended up losing a job because of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 2004, my right leg went out, and I couldn't walk very well. So I ended up having a second back surgery that didn't go so well, and I was out of work for 3 years because of that. Mm-hmm. I actually had to relocate my life from California to Austin, Texas to live with family. And I found a surgeon here, luckily, who was able to repair the damage from the second surgery. So now I still deal with back pain, but it's manageable,
mm-hmm.
which is really great.
Mm-hmm. And you tried traditional medicine. And how well did that work?
You know, I did. I have to say I was very lucky on the onset with traditional medicine in terms of the first surgeries I had and therapy in the hospital. But as I mentioned earlier, the second surgery didn't go very well.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know at that time a device had broken my back, and the device they had put in, and they didn't do a lot of searching to find the issue. I was just told, pretty much, you know, your life as you know it is finished. You're not going to work again, and you're not going to be physically active again. So one thing I'd really like to get across to listeners, if they're considering back surgery, and they don't have to have it, if they're not dealing with scoliosis or an accident or something of that nature, just to really, I mean, get first, second, third, fourth opinions if you have to. Really research the surgeons. Make sure you've tried everything before going under the knife.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and also you have to manage your expectations, because you may not come out pain-free. You may have pain reduction, but you may be dealing with back pain after surgery. So it's not something to take on lightly.
Right, right.
I also, during that time, went to see a disability physician to be approved for disability, for federal disability, and it was an awful experience. It was more like going to jail than going to a physician's office.
Mm-hmm.
I left there just really upset. I remember I was taken back to a room, and it was the typical beginning of a doctor's visit, you know, please take off your clothes and put on this gown.
Mm-hmm.
And then a few minutes later, the physician and his assistant came back to the room, and he just treated me very rudely. He said, drop your gown and face the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember thinking, wow. So I faced one of the walls. There was three to choose
mm-hmm.
from. And he said, no, face the other wall. And when I faced the other wall, his assistant gasped. It was a horrible gasp. I can't even explain it, but it just made me so just so upset.
Mm-hmm.
To have a medical professional gasp at my back scar
mm-hmm.
was ridiculous. And the physician said, she's the real deal. Yet he didn't approve my disability, which I found interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always questioned the disability system
right.
and how they treat people that are truly in pain.
Right.
So otherwise, I've had some good experiences with therapists.
Mm-hmm.
It helps having a fitness background, though. I have had some therapists that gave me exercises that might be contraindicative for a spinal cord injury or for a person with even just nominal back pain. So I think that's been helpful as well. I can see when something isn't going quite as it should.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been helpful. But I've had good and bad therapists. So, again, mm-hmm. no matter who you're seeing for your back, just do a lot of research or get an advocate to help you research.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's hard to do the research on your own if you're having pain.
Right. Karen, what has been the most difficult part of living with chronic back pain?
You know, it can be a very lonely experience for people. I know that a lot of times people don't believe you're in pain, especially for women, I think, because you get up and you put on your makeup and you try to put your best self forward, and yet people don't believe you. And
mm-hmm.
I've had that proven to me a few times through job loss. And it's also hard for people to understand if they've never been in pain,
right.
quite what you're going through. So I think that would be probably the hardest part, is just the sense of being alone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Karen, how did your background in preventive health and fitness affect how you dealt with your back pain?
You know, I felt very lucky that I came from a health and fitness background, because I wanted to move and I wanted to start exercising.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't exercise. I think 7 out of 10 Americans do not exercise, and 8 out of 10 Americans will have back pain at some time in their life. So it's very difficult. Back in the day when I broke my back, we were told more or less to lay around. Now it's come out, it's not good to lay around.
Right.
You should be up within the first couple days and moving. But it's very difficult, I think, for someone who has had back, who gets back pain, but they don't like to exercise.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very lucky to want to keep moving. My nutrition background also helped me. When I was down for 3 years and not exercising, it was very helpful to know how to eat right and,
mm-hmm.
and not gain too much weight, because extra weight puts extra pressure on your back. I believe it's an inch around your waist adds an extra 10 pounds of pressure to your spinal cord. So that was extremely helpful as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Then, Karen, you had previously been a disbeliever in chiropractic medicine. So what led you to try a NUCA?
NUCA chiropractic, and I've been looking at new information. It's actually called upper cervical chiropractic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So.
And pure desperation, honestly. I was at my hairdresser, and anyone listening with back pain knows it's very hard to sit for long periods of time. So I was fidgeting like crazy in his chair, and he asked me if I was still in pain, and I said yes. And he said, "Have you ever tried NUCA chiropractic?" And, you know, a red flag went up in the back of my mind. Oh, chiropractic.
Right.
I have so many spinal fusions. I worry about being manipulated and those types of things. So he went on to explain that it's all done at the cervical level, the main focus. The main focus of it is aligning your brainstem with your atlas, or the top of your spine,
mm-hmm.
so that healing communication can actually get from your brain through your spine.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to give it a try, and I was very shocked that it worked for me.
Mm-hmm.
It has helped tremendously to reduce the pain level.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if it can work for me, it could probably work for many people with back pain, because I'm fused from T10 to S1. Which is pretty much from the chest all the way down my spinal column.
Mm-hmm.
I had thought, well, even if the message could get from my brainstem to T10,
mm-hmm.
what about all those fusions in between?
Mm-hmm.
So when I think of someone who might have maybe one disc or two discs that are giving them trouble or something of that nature, I think this could be really effective.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I do have the website. I'd love to give that out.
Mm-hmm.
If people want to go find out more about it or look up physicians in their area,
mm-hmm.
it's www.upcspine.com.
Hmm. What's the UPC stand for?
I believe upper cervical spine.
Oh.
The UPC's upper cervical.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that will give them national physicians that are chiropractors that treat?
Yes, and there's even other patients on the website talking about how it's worked for them.
Mm-hmm.
The physicians across the country, and then more information about how it works.
Great. Now, Karen, is there anything else you'd like to say before we look at your services and products?
You know, just that if there is someone listening with back pain, that you aren't alone. I know it can feel very lonely at times. And just to really hang in there. There are people out there, and there is support.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, then, Karen, would you tell us about your services and products and how the listeners can reach you?
Yes. I currently have a website, KarenAboutYourBack.com. And they can go there if they want more help and support from me. I'm offering a 25-minute coaching session and also some follow-up emails.
Mm-hmm.
They can also reach me directly at Karen@KarenHummel.com. And I'm working on a book as well about my experiences dealing with back pain through mm-hmm. the last 12 years since the accident. And I'm hoping it's going to be an inspiring book for people, not only suffering from back pain, but so many people are in the current economy are having financial pain and emotional pain. So I really hope it can be an inspiration. And those people that contact me, I will be sending excerpts from the book, and we'll let them know when it's ready.
Do you have a deadline that you anticipate it will be ready?
I'd like to have it out within the next 6 months.
Mm-hmm. Good. So, and people then can find that information on your website.
Yes, and they can also go to KarenHummel.com,
mm-hmm.
and everything's there as well.
Great. Well, I thank you very much, Karen. This has been interesting. It's always interesting to me to see how different people deal with their chronic back pain.
Well, thank you. I really appreciated the opportunity to speak with you today.
Thank you, Karen. I thank you for joining me today on the Holistic Health Show, and I hope some of the information was useful to you. I invite you to my website, where the shows are archived on the Sunday following broadcast on BBS Radio. In addition, I post some of the latest research on the topic being discussed every Wednesday, and some of the latest research on cancer every Friday. You will also find my latest book for sale there that was published in 2007 and forms the framework for this show titled Healthy Holistic Aging, A Blueprint for Success. It tells you what you can do to remain healthy throughout life. In addition, you will find some ebooks on cancer, stress, sleep, and others, and a CD on smoking cessation when I get someone to put it on the website. I hope to see you again in 2 weeks, and in the meantime, I wish you a great week. I am Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host of the Holistic Health Show.